Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord, humbly, Lord, knowing without you, Lord, we're nothing. Lord, without, Lord, your forgiveness, Lord, we'd be lost. Lord, without your mercy, Lord, where would we be? Oh, dear God, thank you, Lord. I ask God that you come now, Lord, and Lord, use your servant to be a help to your people, Lord. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. And I want to begin reading verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right side and one on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. You may be seated. What I'd like to take a few minutes to speak on this morning is the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. We know that when Jesus was here on the earth, there was a man that was laying there, had palsy, couldn't walk, and Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And he was criticized for it, and he said, well, what difference make whether I said, thy sins be forgiven thee, or I say, take up thy bed and walk. But the scripture tells us that he said that they might know he had power on earth to forgive sin. Amen. He had power on earth to forgive sin. And I've got several scriptures I want to refer to this morning, and some I'll have you turn to, others if you want to mark them down, or I know now that we're getting these things online, and I give Brother Todd my notes, and so people, if you got access to them online, well, you can look at my notes for any sermon. But in Psalms 86, in verses 4 and 5, it says, David writes, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now, just something of that really struck me. He says, you're ready to forgive. There's been times where we're put to the test, and when it comes, we ain't ready to forgive. We have to get there. You ever felt that way? So I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but it might take me a little bit. But I tell you what, I'm so glad that's not the way it is with God. I'm glad that when I trespass and I go and ask forgiveness, he doesn't say, I'm going to, but it's going to take me a little bit to get over that. I'm glad he don't do that, aren't you? It's going to take me a little bit to get over what you just did. To be like Jesus. Huh? That's what y'all were singing. To be like Jesus. Well, if we're going to be like Jesus, we got to be ready to forgive. Not trying to get ready when we should be forgiven. But how do we you know, spend more time in prayer on it? If you say, well, I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but I don't know what I can, my heart right now, go to prayer. Go to prayer. Brother Branham said, if it's your brother or sister, and you feel something, they've done something against you or hurt you, he said, get down on your knees and go to prayer for them. He said, if you'll go to praying for them, you'll find out that it wasn't your brother or your sister, but it was the enemy that caused that. Matthew 6, chapter 6 and verses 14 and 15. Many of these you're familiar with. I just want to read them. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The power, I want you to see the power in forgiving. If we forgive one another our trespasses, and here's the power, then he forgives us of ours. Amen. That's good. That's true. Mm. Turn with me. I want to read here in Matthew 18. And I know you're familiar with this, but I want to just read it. Chapter 18, I want to start at verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say unto thee until seven times. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's easy math there. We know that's 490. But we want to go on to read the rest of this, because if we just stop there, then we'll say, I'll tell you what, I'll forgive you 490 times, but 491st time you've had it. And that wasn't what Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying, well, it runs out at 490. Verse 23, he goes to tell them a little parable to get the message across here. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which had taken account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Now, he wasn't just moved with compassion and said, all right, I'll give you time to pay it. He was so moved that he said, look, you don't even owe me no more. Forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after that, he had called him, said to him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. So that last verse, this parable coming down, and then he kind of wraps and sums it up in this last verse, and you realize he's saying, look, this is what I just told you in this parable. This is what will happen to you. This is what will be done if you can't forgive your brother his trespasses. Turn me to Luke 17. This scripture kind of goes hand in hand with what we just read. Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee and saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. I'll tell you what, now that'd be really putting you to the test, wouldn't it? Seven times in one day. And still say, I forgive you. But don't make a habit of this. That's what you'd be thinking. When you look at this and read this, to our way of thinking, be honest, it almost sounds impossible. It sounds like, well, that's asking a whole lot. If they trespass seven times against you in a day, and every time they come and say, I'm sorry, I repent, after a while, you know, we would get to thinking, well, they must not really mean it. But here's the thing, the power isn't in whether they mean it or not. The power is in the fact that you can forgive them. We just read our text, Jesus there on the cross, and he said, forgive them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, he had to forgive them. Otherwise, friends, they wouldn't have an opportunity. Even into the future, there wouldn't be an opportunity to recognize who he was and accept forgiveness for your sins. He forgave them. They didn't ask him. I mean, right? They were crucifying him. And this is after they had done everything else they'd done to him, you know. Blindfolded him, hit him, and said, prophesy, tell us who hit you. Pulled out his beard, whipped him, you know, with the cat of nine tails. And here he turns around and says, forgive him. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. Now, does that mean that everybody is going to be saved? No, it doesn't. Because they've got to accept the forgiveness. In the book of Jeremiah, the Lord, speaking through Jeremiah, says, I'll forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. I'll tell you what, that is encouraging to me. I want you to realize, he didn't just say, I'll forgive them their sin. He said their iniquity. Iniquity is knowing what's right, but going ahead anyway. He said, but if they were, the seat, they repent, then he said, I'll forgive their iniquity and I'll remember it, their sin. I won't remember it. I'll remember it no more. Now, we can forgive one another. If somebody did something, really did something against you, you could forgive them, but we're not God. We don't have the ability to willingly forget it. We don't have the ability to willingly forget it. Now, one time I was talking with my father-in-law, this has been years ago, and I was talking to him about someone had done something to me, and it's been so many years ago, I'm trying to remember how it was. It must have been I trespassed against somebody. And my father-in-law said, well, you just ask him to forgive you. And I said, what if they won't forgive me? He said, look, you've done your part by repenting and asking for him to forgive you. It's on them. It's on their head if they won't forgive you. But, you know, we can forgive someone, but what if that person, what if they really ain't seeking forgiveness? You see, repenting isn't just saying, I'm sorry. That's only the first part of repenting. The next part of repenting is turning from what you repented over. Turning from it. Not willing to just keep on repeating it. Another thing you got to realize, when you get to dealing in the realms of demonology, now there are demons that get on people and cause them to do things. They become even possessed by them to where it'll cause them to do things. There's two influences in this world. One is a heavenly influence and the other is an influence from hell. And there's only two. There ain't three or four or five. There's only two. And I've got to say this. I don't mean to hurt nobody's feelings, but I got to say this. As I'm trying to get around it, and the Holy Spirit won't let me. Remember in the scripture, he said, if anybody do something to one of these little ones, he said it'd be better that a millstone was tied around their neck and them cast into the sea. What he was referring to there was a form of capital punishment. That was the law in that day. It was actually the law they had, and that was reserved for one thing. It was that particular punishment. What they did was they took them and they made an semblance of a millstone, just heavy enough to make the person sink, and they would chain that around the individual's neck. They would, by boat, take them out into the middle of the sea. And while they were doing this, they had this one that had offended. See, they had his family stand there, and they had to witness this capital punishment being dealt out. And the reason for it is because what they reserved it for was if somebody molested a child. And if they molested a child, then this was the punishment that was reserved for them. And so Jesus, pointing to that, He just said, if you do something to offend one of these little ones, do something against one of these children, he said, it'd be better for you than a millstone. Be better for you pay, you face that capital punishment than have to face me in judgment. Now let's just back up just a minute. Let's say we're dealing with an individual like that. It ain't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't God. It wasn't a heavenly influence that caused him to do it. That was a demonic influence. Now, the prophet of God went into the scripture and was talking about committed adultery. And he said, it's adultery is the right act with the wrong person. Everybody understand that? Because the Bible says that the bed in marriage is blessed. But he says, adultery, it's not the deed, but it's with the wrong individual. It's with somebody that's not your wife or somebody that's not your husband. And that's what makes it wrong. But when it comes to molesting children, that ain't a right act with the wrong person. That ain't every bit of that's wrong. Now you say, but can we forgive an individual like that? Yes, you can forgive them. But what if they don't want forgiveness? What if they love that spirit? You remember that time that the man come stood up on the platform, told Brother Ram, I'm going to break every bone in your body. And he said, you'll fall across my feet. And that man lunged for him, and there he went, just right out on the floor. Pinned his feet to the floor. The police had to come up and get this man and move him off his feet. And that one policeman, he asked Brother Brim, he said, did he get delivered? Brim said, no, he loved that spirit. See, they said this man, he done that with every preacher that ever come in town. He done it. And he had been successful up until that time. You know, he had been successful up until that time. But they said, did he get delivered? He said, no, because he loves that spirit. So see, if an individual loves that spirit, then I don't care how much you forgive them, that ain't going to deliver them. What you're forgiving them for, you're forgiving them for your own sake. Because as an individual that is sealed by the Holy Ghost, we've got to put off from us all bitterness. We can't let bitterness rest in our heart. So you forgive them. Say, what if they continue on the same way? Well, you don't got to hang out with them. You don't got to invite them over for supper. Because they're choosing just to go on that way. But that doesn't mean you hadn't forgiven. You can forgive and then put it in the hands of God. Now it's between them and God. You say, well, it'd be hard to forgive something like that. I grant you it would. But I'll tell you this. Hanging on to it, is it worth missing heaven? Hanging on to something like that, is that worth a trespass that wouldn't be anything like that? Some trespass you make, would it be worth you not getting forgiven? Because you couldn't forgive? Would it be worth it? Remember one time when Brother David was out there in the, you know, backslid condition the way he was, and he called me on the phone. He told me here not long ago he used to call me just to try to aggravate me. But he called me on the phone and he said, I know you hate me. And I said, no, I don't. And he said, well, how could you not hate me? And I said, because you ain't worth me missing heaven over. I said, I love you. I'd like to see you get right, but you ain't worth me missing heaven over. So I just forgive you and go on. Ain't nobody worth that. They ain't worth you missing heaven. Hallelujah. Listen to this. It's in Questions and Answers, COD book. Now, if the spirit of Elijah was upon John, it would make John act like Elijah. The spirit of God upon you will make you act like Jesus. Boy, here we go. Sung that song, didn't we? Just so y'all know, Nate doesn't get with me and say, what songs you think I ought to sing? Sometimes he's back there, we're praying, and he don't even know what he's going to sing. Till the Lord just puts it on his heart. Now, that's where you find the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It makes you meek, makes you humble, makes you forgiving. Now, listen to this. He said, could they pull whiskers from your face? Now, he's putting us, we want to be like Jesus. So he's putting us right there saying, okay, this is what they've done to him. So he begins to put us in that place and he says, could they pull whiskers from your face? If you had them there, jerk them out, spit in your face, when you had a power to call legions of angels? He had a power to call legions of angels, but that wasn't the power that he chose to use. He had power of resurrection. He had power of healing. But the power he chose to use when he was there on the cross was the power of forgiveness. The prophet was praying one time at the end of a service, and he said, come like you did on the road to Emmaus and do something just a little different to where we'll know, the people will know it's you. And he said, come tonight and manifest your resurrection in the power of deity. The power of vision, the power of healing, the power of forgiveness. That was in earnestly contending for the faith. But if you had the power to call legions of angels, would you use that or would you use the power of forgiveness? Could you do that for the love of the people that was spitting in your face? Could you do it? If somebody just walked up to you, now listen, I was sitting back there reading this, and I'll tell you what, I was thinking in my mind, can I do this? It's if somebody walked up to you and said, hey, you hypocrite, and smacked you on one side of the face, could you pray for their forgiveness? I said, maybe y'all don't have to, but I sat back there and thought on it a while. I began to visualize it in my mind. Because there's plenty of people I think it would like to do it. I've met some since I've been here. And I think if they could, they would. And I thought if they did, could I? But see, then you got to realize this. We can sit around and speculate something like that, and we can say, sure, I could do it, or I'm not sure if I could do it, or whatever. But it's when it happens, it's like this. A lamb is born, well, you couldn't shear it. There ain't no wool on that lamb where you could shear that lamb and make something out of it. But when he matures, he might say when he's born, maybe that lamb, if he could talk, he'd say, how in the world am I ever going to grow such as that? How am I going to, y'all ever seen how sheep look when they're, I mean, is this so full and everything else when they're ready to be sheared? Anybody seen them? How many's ever been around little lambs? Boy, I tell you, you're talking about cute. I used to get over in the pen and catch me one. And I don't know what it was, Brother David, but if there was a black one in there, that was always the one I went after. I guess I felt sorry for him, the black sheep in the family, you know. And maybe I identified with it, you know, being how I've thought many a times about my poor mom and dad and thought, my goodness sakes alive, they didn't do one. They ought to, I'm telling you what, I know they're going to get some jewels in their crown because they didn't do one thing ever to deserve all the meanness that me and my brother put them through. But if somebody walked up to you, and this is what he says here now, he says, now, that's where the test, whether you got the Holy Spirit or not. Now that lamb, he's going to bear the wool just because that's what he is. And if we got the Holy Spirit, then that's just going to manifest. I was trying to remember, I think it was in the Message Greatest Battle We're Fought, and I can't remember the name of the preacher, but Brother Ram names a lot of different preachers and ministers from the past and things, what they did and how they went through. He's all doing this on, you know, fighting a battle. And there was one that he would go around places and set up his tent and have revival meetings. And this one town he went to, there was a bully in that town. And any time that a preacher or something come around through there, well, that bully, he wanted to test them. And he'd come up there and whoop them preachers and run them off. And what he would say is, he'd say, now you know you got to turn the other cheek, you know. But when he met this particular preacher done this. He rolled up his sleeves, boy, and just went at it with him. And after he whooped him, then he led him to the Lord. Now, Brother Brown tells that story. So I guess, you know, it depends on what the Holy Ghost is inspiring, you know. He said, when somebody says something evil against someone, sometimes that claims to have the Holy Spirit, I'll get even with her if that's a last, if it takes me my last day, I'll get even. See, now that's where you check about your Holy Spirit. Blessed are you when men shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely for my name's sake, but you go get even with them. No, he said, it don't say that. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which was before you. See, when somebody says something evil about you, you say something good about them. Well, what if you say, what if boy just got next to me? I can't think of one good thing to say. Well, he says, if you can't say something good about him, then don't say nothing. Just let it go. And then when you get to yourself, pray for them. So if you can't say something good, then don't say nothing. It's like I made mention here, I believe it was a couple Sundays ago, I said, just because a thought goes through your head doesn't mean it has to come out your mouth. And just because a thought goes through your head don't mean you have to act on it. I told y'all about them, the neighbors right next to me that was building up there on that land and everything, and about a guy they had that was, I guess he was kind of like their overseeing everything that was going on, you know, and getting it all ready. And my dog, Lucille, she thought that belonged to her silver, and she'd go over there and bark at them guys, and I'd go over and get her. And I told the men, I said, her name's Lucille, just tell her to go home. I said, just say, go, Lucy, go home. And that man come down there and he said, well, Lucy, you'll listen. said, she'll go home when I tell her to. He said, but there's a bulldog comes over here with her barking at us, and that bulldog don't listen to nobody. But he told me, you know, he just kind of just the way, he just rubbed me wrong the way he was talking. I was sitting in my truck out there in front of the place, and he'd walked down there and said, you know, like he was ordering me around, and I didn't feel too good about it, you know. And he come down there and had my window down, you know, and he put his hands on the window sill like that to talk to me. And he just kept, boy, the way he was going, just kept up next to me. And I'll tell you, a thought went through my mind that I was going to grab his wrist and floor it and see if he could keep up. Now, that thought went through my mind, but I didn't do that. Just because I thought it didn't mean I had to act on it. And the thing is, I dismissed that thought. I just dismissed it. I don't know where that thought came from. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I didn't do it. And you know what? I told him, I'm sorry. And I said, I'll do everything I can to make sure, all right. I'll make sure they don't come over. And just like that, well, you know what? It wasn't but a week after that. He got up there and broke his foot and couldn't help him no more. Now, I didn't do that. I didn't pray for it to be done. But he wasn't treating me too good. And, you know, the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. You know, I'll tell you what, you need to be careful. I'll tell you, you do something against your brother, I don't care how much of an elect Christian that you are or whatever, you do something against them and let that go and don't ask for forgiveness, I'll tell you what, you're going to get a whooping. You're going to really get some things come on you. My relative of mine always says, what goes around comes around. And they didn't mean they were going to get even. They were saying, you know, be careful what you do. Because what you do can come back home to you. There was a man going to church with us. And he, summertime, he did landscaping, and he didn't really get into residential. It was all commercial stuff what he was doing, you know, around office buildings and all that kind of stuff. And he'd done landscaping in the summer, and then in the winter, this is up in Ohio, in the winter, he would get contracts to clear their parking lots, you know, had a big old blade on the front of his truck, and he'd get contracts with them, and that way, every time it snowed, they didn't have to call somebody. You know, he just went out and everybody had a contract. He'd do it. And he kept up with their landscaping in the summer. Well, he had to go make bids, you know, to get a contract with him. He'd have to go make a bid, enter his bid in, and then they would consider it, you know. And usually, they'll go with the lowest bid. So, he pretended to be just some ordinary Joe and went over and asked this fellow that was over there making a bid. He goes, my goodness, he said, you doing this? Yeah. He said, my goodness, how much would something like this cost? And the fellow told him what he did. He told him his bid. So what he did was he just went in and underbid him. And I remember the pastor telling him, said, that wasn't right. He said, that wasn't right what you did. He said, now you watch what you did. It's going to come back. Somebody's going to do that to you because you did wrong. Sure enough, there was people to come in and find out a way to underbid him, you know, cheated him. He got cheated. Now, that's the thing. You know, you don't want that. Let's read this scripture together, Luke 6. This is powerful. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Now, you know, when it comes to me, and I trespass or I do something that's wrong, I want some mercy. I don't pray for justice. I pray for mercy. I pray, Lord, I'm sorry, and I want to be forgiven. Well, as much as you want that for yourself, you got to be willing to give it from yourself to others. Be merciful. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Right? That kind of what the statement I made, you know, about what you deal out to come back to you. That's what this is saying. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, I know many of y'all, or all of you, should be familiar with the story of Joseph and how Jacob loved Joseph and he made him a coat, you know, of many colors. And his Joseph's brothers, they despised him because it seemed the father favored him, Jacob favored him, and it almost looked like he loved him more than them. And so they despised him. And then one day, you know, Jacob had sent Joseph out to see how his brothers was faring. They were keeping the flock. And when he got out there, they said, well, he's out here to spy on us. And they cooked up a plan, you know. And they took that coat off of him. And they went and killed an animal and put the blood all over it. And they put him into a pit. And then when a caravan came by, they sold him as a slave, their own brother. Then they took the coat back to Jacob, and showed him the coat and said, there's the blood on it. It said, a wild beast done this to him. And they just forgot about it. Well, quite a bit of time passed on, you know. Because then you get to reading about all the things that happened in Joseph's life after he was sold as a slave. And so there was quite a bit of time that passed. And Joseph went from being a slave to rose all the way up to the right hand of Pharaoh. God blessing him. Then we know when the brothers came in to buy, because of the famine, they came in to get grain. Joseph recognized them, you know, and so Joseph's wanting to test them. He wanted to test them and see if it had changed, you know, because there was a younger brother, Benjamin, and he wanted to see had they changed. So he put something in Benjamin's pack and then said something was stolen. And they found it in Benjamin's pack, and he said, well, I'm taking him. And so the old one said, no, he's beloved of my father. Said, listen, take me in his place instead. And Joseph seen something had happened. His brothers had changed. Then he took him in and revealed to him who he was, that he was their brother they had sold in slavery. They asked for his forgiveness. Joseph forgave him. Joseph wanted his father brought, and there they were sustained through the famine. They there and was sustained through it. Then comes the time Jacob dies. And then they take Jacob back and bury him in Canaan. But the brothers, they begin to think, now that our father is dead, Joseph's liable to change his mind about all this. He might have done this just for the sake of our father, But now that he's dead, you know, and they sent messengers and they went and they said, you know, forgive us, you know. And they said, forgive our trespasses against you. And Joseph already had. But then Joseph says something that's really powerful. He said, fear not. This is in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 50. He says, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. So see, Joseph was able to forgive them what they did because he saw the hand of God in it. And this is the thing. Sometimes there'll be somebody that trespass against you, and it'd be God allowing that to actually bring something about. Get us maybe moved to where we need to be or something. So the thing is, forgive them. Say, well, I don't see how God's in this. You don't have to. If he is, he will reveal it sometime. When it was happening to Joseph, when he was being thrown in a pit and sold as a slave, he didn't say, boy, God, you're doing this for my good and for the good of my family. No, he had no idea. He was just a scared boy, not knowing what in the world was going to happen to him. But after God had moved the way he did, then Joseph was able to look back and say, boy, they had evil thought, but God, for my good, for good, done this, that they all would be saved. You never know. You never know what God's doing. Maybe God's wanting to work out something in that individual's life. Maybe God's wanting just to give you an opportunity to actually be a living example. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, he said, to whomever you, talking to the Corinthian church, said, he says, to whom ye have forgiven anything, I forgive also. If somebody, he's telling the Corinthian church, if somebody's done something against you and you forgive them, now I love you. Y'all belong to me. I love you. And you might forgive them, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to get them. I ain't going to forgive them. I've seen that. I've seen that where the individual that the offense was done against maybe forgives and goes on, but the rest of the family just can't seem to do it. And it wasn't even committed to them. So we need to be like Paul. He said, whoever you forgive, I forgive them also. Hallelujah. I know I read this just recent, but I just want to read it again. In Ephesians 4 and 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgiving one another. Listen, if somebody says something evil against you or does something evil, and you say, well, you know what? They're just a sinner person, maybe, or maybe it's somebody that you thought was your brother or sister. We need to not let them exercise power over us by what their actions or what they say causing us to lose our temper. You know, you might not believe this, but there are certain people out there who just likes to push other people's buttons. Yeah. And they ain't all just, listen, some of them are preachers that I've run into. You get around and talk and you think I could just say something nice. I've got around preachers before and you think, you know, especially when I first came here, pastor of the church, you think, you know, they could say something nice or encouraging, you know. When I first came, Brother Donnie Reagan, he said to me, he said, Brother Jerry, if there's anything I can, a word of wisdom I could pass on to you to help you in pastoring, he said, it's this, patience. Patience. And he said, anytime you need anything, Brother Jerry, he said, just give me a call. He said, if you need anything, he said, or you need some assist, he says, I appreciate, here's what he told me. He said, I appreciate you coming down. Went over a pastor at church. He said, I've been praying for that church. So Brother Darrell been going over a lot and helping them. Now that was encouraging. But I got around other preachers. You think they could just say something encouraging? Me just starting out of your pastor? No. They had to say discouraging things. Like, you're wasting your time, and people can't be pastored. Huh? Another one sent word to me, another preacher. He didn't even get to speak to me directly. He sent word to me when he found out him. He said, tell him that is a graveyard for preachers right there. You think they could have said something encouraging or not said anything at all? But there are people who get around, as one individual said to me, I could tell every time I got around him, it'd be the same old way. And I could tell they, first of all, he's trying to show he knew more than I did. And I just let him go ahead and think that. I let him go ahead and think that. I thought, I ain't got nothing to prove to him. You know, let him think what he wants to think. He wants to think he knows more than me. Well, go on. One thing you don't know is that I know what you think, and I don't care. That's one thing you don't know. But you know what? He'd try to say things just to see if he could, you know, kind of get next to you, you know. And I realized that, and I said, well, I'm just not going to let him bother me, you know. They come to and you know how Brother Ram said, sometimes people that have been around a pastor long enough, says after a while they'll start to act like their pastor. He said that. Well, there were some folks come from that brother's church coming. We had a meeting here, you know. And so when I walked out there and they came out, this individual shake my hand. They had to tell me how that person preaching could have said this and could have said that and could have said this better. And I thought, uh-huh, you're acting just like your pastor. But I didn't, I never held nothing against that brother. You know, he called me on the phone. I just talked real nice to him, you know. And I never showed him any disrespect. Because I looked at it this way, he was preaching long before I ever started preaching. And whatever he'd done and whatever, that's between him and God. So I never wanted to have anything wrong on my part. So I always showed him respect. You know, I never tried to do anything to embarrass him. I never tried to challenge him. I never tried to, you know, try to belittle him or anything like that. Whatever, you know, was around, I just tried to be nice and be respectful. And you know what? That brother's passed away. And whatever his life and how he's done all that, that's between him and God. And you know what? But here he is, he's already gone. But I can tell you this, I have no regrets when I look back. I don't have any regrets that I did something against him or that I held something against him or that he went out of this life without me forgiving something or you know, making something right. I got no regrets because I... See that? Not letting people have the power over you to cause you to act a certain way or do a certain thing. See? Instead of that, you exercise the power over yourself. Instead of letting them have the power over you, you exercise the power over yourself to just forgive it and go on. Go on. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that you are faithful and just, Lord, to forgive us of our sin, Lord. If we sin and we confess it, we repent, and you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, what a power there was in your forgiving, that it, Lord, actually could annihilate sin. Now, Lord, there is no man on earth that can forgive sin. But the Bible says, if we've got the right kind of love, it said it'll hide a multitude of trespasses, sins, offenses. In other words, Lord, we need to be able to forgive. Maybe in forgiving, Lord, it'll inspire that individual to then do, make it right, do right. Lord, I stand in need of your forgiveness every day, Lord. Lord, I'm a human. We are, Lord. Lord, we're living in a weak flesh. Lord, I don't say that as an excuse. But I say it, Lord, to bring praise to you that you are ready to forgive. You stand ready to forgive, Lord. And Lord, when we ask forgiveness, when we repent, Lord, we don't have to do some kind of penance. We don't have to jump through some kind of hoops or do something, Lord, but it's free. Freely forgiven. Thank you for that today. I pray you'll bless your people, God. Bless their time, perhaps, Lord, with if they have fellowship with one another. I pray you'll bless it. Be with them, keep them, Lord. Bring them back safe at the appointed time. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, Brother Nate. Amen.
Created me a clean heart.
Created me a clean heart, Lord, and renewed. From that breath and soul.
Priscilla something. I want to say it or not. But you know, if we sung that song, I'll be somewhere listening to my name. I'm going to be standing there someday. I don't care. I know it. Only him calling my name. I'm going to be standing there when he calls Tim's and Paula's name. I want to be standing there. I give a million worlds to be standing there when he calls their name. Mine, I want mine called. I want theirs called first. Paula's birthday should have been 42 today. She'd live today, August the 9th. She never did let me forget it.
Thank you.